Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATACP Live.
Live. Yeah, that's what they tell me. They tell me it's real live.
After the time when I was...
This the same friend in the You Left Your Car story.
Yeah, Mac. I got in contact with him recently. But he's the one who preached to me, don't board marry women. Okay.
This sounds like a story where you didn't listen.
Well, I did. I was taking heed. And we going to say about 5 more months down the line after that happened.
Okay.
I was taking heed. Every time somebody was married, I would run away. Oh, you're married, I gotta go. I remember I left my car, and I can't go through that shit no more. So, what happened was, Mac met this girl, and she had a girlfriend, and she seen that we was together, and her girlfriend wanted to talk to me. I'm walking around the club, talking to everybody. Mac run up there. Yo, man, you see old girl I'm talking to? Yeah. I said, yeah, she fine, you know? He said, well, she got a friend. I said, oh, yeah. How she looked, and then he pointed at them. They were on the other side. I said, dang, she fine. He said, she won't talk to you. And her girl ain't going to talk to me unless her friend talk to you.
Package deal.
And I'm like, dang. Well, I do you a favor, bruh, because you get your little rap on. You got your little skills together. You know, he's youngster. He's 2 years younger than me now. He's a youngster. So I went over there. And we started talking. An old girl say, first thing you say when you're in the army, you away from your place, you ask, where are you from? No girl said, I'm from Michigan, Detroit. Now, in my mind, I'm going, so that means that you're down here in Texas, because we were stationed in Texas. Now, if you're in Michigan, and you're from Michigan, I need to have a job because I came down here for my work. I came down here because I'm in the army. Something of that nature. So I said, why are you down here? And she said, because of the military. I said, okay. And she didn't look like she was in the military to me. So I said, so what do you do in the military? She said, oh, I don't do anything. My husband. Your husband? I took off running. So.
You left your boy hanging.
I said, well, it's nice meeting you. Everything was good. Shook her hand, gave her a pound, rolled out. Started talking to other girls. So he was talking to the old girl, but he wasn't getting no play, so he ran over to me. He goes, "What's wrong?" I say, "Her girlfriend is married." He goes, "Just do it for me. That's what I'm telling you." I said, "Wait a minute.
Oh,
wow. You done taught me about, you know, not doing anything, but now I got to do it for you as a favor."
Oh, that's not right.
So I ended up starting a life of crime all over again.
You didn't stay strong?
Nah, I didn't stay. Well, I mean, we didn't do anything. It seemed like, okay, she was married, but she was in the middle of getting a separation, so. But we didn't do anything. And one of the nights that I was out to go see her, that same husband was out for the girl, the other girl.
Was you ducking and weaving?
Wait a minute, look. We let a red light, me and Mac. And Mac turned around and sees the guy. The guy pulled out a gun.
Ooh.
And Mac said, "He got a gun! He beat my dad. He got a gun! He got a gun! Go through the red light! I don't care! I'm saying, but the police right back. Go through the red light! Go! Man, he getting ready to shoot us!" And the policeman, because he was in back of me, and he made a legal turn to get on the side of me to show that he had a gun, and the policeman was like two cars back, and he turned his lights on and stopped him. And as soon as he pulled up, the police officer pulled to block him out.
Uh-huh.
The light turned green, and we went. As soon as we got to the club, Mac talking about at the bartender, "Can I have some alcohol? I don't care if it's rubbing." "I just need some to ease my back." He was nervous. He looking at me. He had a gun, Jimmy. He had a gun. I said, "Oh, Lord, here we go again. He know my car." So, 2 more months later, I see in his car. Here I go. Oh, he going to pull a gun out on me. I chased him all through Killeen. He was running. His car, he knew who I was. I was chasing
him.
Because I was behind him, and I seen him, and I looked at him, and he see me, and he took off. I guess he didn't have his gun that day. He took off.
He was in his car.
Yeah.
He was running.
And he was running through red light stop signs. I chased him, and he almost hit another car. And again, a police officer was on the other side and stopped him. Then I just drove on by, waving like, with his laugh
today,
on my face.
If he see you today, he's jacking you up.
I don't think he know me from years, because I've been down there before. I went back down there again.
He just didn't see you.
I don't think he lives down there no more. But if he did, because I did, there was one other time that I put my hands on him, because he was at the club just about 5-6 months later. And I seen him, and he was leaning against the wall. And I told Mac, "That's that dude that pulled that gun out on us." He said, "It is.
Little gun, a shotgun,
I said,
chasing you."
I said, "Get on the other side." Matt was on the other side, and I walked down the aisle, and he was leaning against the wall. He didn't know who I was, like, close up, I guess. And I just walked, and all of a sudden, I put my elbow in his neck, and he was against the wall. I said, "Bitch, I got you now. Don't walk outside. Please live in this club, because I'm waiting for your black ass outside. Don't come outside. Don't come outside." And the dang,
he listening to the show now. He coming after you.
The
now.
Security guard came by and told us to break it up. I said, "Don't come outside. Please, if you like your life, do not come outside." And me and Mac left. We don't know if he came outside because we didn't worry about it. We kept going. That was a saga right there, boy. But yeah. I'm scared that dude.
Look, he's surfing the net right now.
Looking for me.
Surfing the net. And somebody told him, "Check this out." And he listening. Check your email from your webpage.
Then another thing that happened. You stupid.
You got mail.
You stupid. I'm going to tell you another thing that happened to me when I was down there. I don't know if all this shit was true because I just don't know what happened, but there was three girls that was claiming that they was pregnant by me. Now, I'm going to tell you, they knew my whole name, so I know I ain't got no baby. That would have been the first thing that would have came. There would have been some monies coming out of my pocket. I know that. But damn. Here go one. Okay. One called me on the day. I had duty all day long. So my black butt was going to be put in one spot. Couldn't go nowhere all day long on a Saturday. So I'm sitting up there at the desk. Got to do 24-hour duty. So everybody knew. You ain't going to be at the club tomorrow, you know, because shoot, we used to go out to the club. Now listen, the club, we used to be at the club from Tuesday to Friday.
I heard the story.
Tuesday to Friday. And then they wanted to sneak a Monday in, like about 6 months in the game, talking about, you know, that song, Living Like a Hobo, that song that was out a long time ago by Marco McLaurin. Buffalo Girls Round Outside. It's a New York song. I got the album. Anyway, they used to play that, and they said, Living Like a Hobo. And so on Mondays, the club got slick. We going to have hobo night. Get these niggas in a hobo night, dressed all jacked up, and get in free. So we used to just put on some old Holy G's, a raggedy shirt, looking like a hobo. That was the name of the song that was out. Got in free. They sneaked that extra day in on us. So we was going like from
6 days a week.
No. It was seven. Because Monday was the day of our rest.
Oh, I know. You went on Sunday.
Sunday they snuck in at another club, free pizza night. Why did they do that? We never, at the beginning. Oh no, it was free too. Domino's. Damn, we gonna be there. They had free pizza night. Now look, check this out. This was my life. Tuesday night was ladies' night at 20 grand. Wednesday night was ladies' night at Sugar's Live. Thursday night was ladies' night at the VFW. Okay, Friday was the weekend. Friday, we might go out of town. We might go to Waco. Because
you go anywhere on Friday.
We might go Austin because we off on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, we didn't work on Saturday in the Army, in the service. This Saturday night, this Sunday, free pizza night, then Monday, hobo night. I'm going to tell you, they caught us up for all 7 nights, and we was running strong for 3 months. 3 or 4 months, we was doing it every night. Just tired. I just got to tell you, I was a tired soldier. Like this Puerto Rican dude said. He said, when he came up there, he was a Puerto Rican sergeant in our squad. And we have to be ready at 5 o'clock to go outside. He knocked on our door, and by 5:15 to 5, we still laid out. He go, y'all the most tired of soldiers I've ever seen in my life. He said, you got your PT uniform on, but your name back down. Because we got up, brushed our teeth, and went back straight to bed. I couldn't take it. And then look, all day long, I'm talking about, I ain't going. You going out? No, I ain't going out. Look, lunchtime come. I don't want no lunch. I'm going to sleep. Go to sleep and shit. Get up. Be mad as hell at 1 o'clock because it'll only be an hour. Be mad. Oh, I can't stand it. I ain't going out tonight. I'm going to sleep.
Stupid.
5 o'clock come. We get off. We wind it down. We sitting in the room, chilling out.
Got a good 90-minute rest. Huh?
No. Didn't get no rest. Just sitting there, chilling, talking about what happened the day before. Then on that same old nigga come in and go. And he don't go out to the club. This is what his job was, just to get us out. Like he was going in our room stealing us something because he was like, you know, so-and-so going to be at the V. You know, she going to be looking good. You know, so-and-so going to be at Sugar's Live. You know it's going to be kicking. Every girl in Colleen going to be there. Because all of a sudden,
Maybe he tried to get y'all out so he could have
I don't understand what it was. I don't understand. He was in our roommate.
Oh,
I don't understand. Oh, no. He was kicking up doors every day coming there. You know so-and-so. You know. And he knew all
maybe
the
they
women.
Was paying him.
I don't know what it was, but I know all of a sudden when he said that about two, three things, he said, and you know it's ladies' night, they get in free. And they going to have all mini skirts. And I be going, I'm going up! My boy go, I'm going up! Then we go and take a shower, same old routine, be back in the morning about 3 o'clock, get up at 5, talk about, I ain't going no more, I ain't going. We lived this shit, I can't believe it, we lived this shit for like three months straight before one night we gonna go out. It's Saturday now. Dressed. We were dressed.
Because you don't work on Saturdays.
No. We usually get up, play ball early in the morning, go play ball for about 9-10 hours, and then take that little lunch break to go eat lunch at another dining facility across post because we was at the main field house where they had like 9 to 10 courts,
mm-hmm.
and everybody from post come there and play. And we be there for about 8 or 9. I'm talking about from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the evening, playing basketball all day long. So look, we sitting there talking about going to the club on Saturday night. Now this went on for like 3-4 months. We mm-hmm. went out every day. Okay, Saturday night came. I guess it just beat us down. But we was dressed to go out. Everybody had on their shoes, this suit. We was dressing with suits now back then because you could
right.
only get in the right way.
Right.
Not like it is today. So we dressed to fly. And somebody said, well, I'm just going to lay down for 5 minutes. I said, well, I had two. And there was 3 beds laid out. Our other boy said, well, I lay down too.
Did y'all take your suits off?
No, we didn't take no clothes off because we said we was getting up in 5 minutes. Bro, I woke up in a hurried manner, like I was nervous, like I missed something. I got up and I looked at the clock and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. We had Simmons go lay down for 5 minutes at 8 o'clock.
See.
I said, yo, Mac! Sam, we missed it. It's 2 o'clock. And the nigga said, damn, we only went to, I thought we was going to sleep for 5 minutes. I said, well, you know the rising sun. Because the rising sun.
Stayed up until 5, huh?
No, it stayed open until the sun rose.
Oh, okay.
That was the name of it, the rising sun. It didn't open until 3 o'clock. Because the clubs didn't close till like 2:30.
Right.
And then you get that half-hour intermission. I don't know why.
You get from one place to the other.
And then by the time we get there, we wait on the doors to open at 3, and it'd be like a whole herd of people. And it was free to get in, and they serve free food. I don't know how I guess they made money off the drinks, but, you know, I don't drink, so.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, we was like, man, I'm hungry, too. Well, you know they serve free food. Well, damn it, I'm going. And then at the rise of the sun, you could wear jeans, so. We took that shit off and put jeans on. At 2 a.m. and went out. But yeah, we used to hit the clubs quite frequent.
Yeah, you got
quite professional.
You got quite a few stories you knew there.
Every day. Every day.
Yeah.
I remember we used to get in at the V and the old lady used to let us in and she said, hey baby, got the stamp? Yeah, I got my stamp. So one day I'm going to be like, damn, it was a hot day, just getting nice again around the spring. I knew every nigga talking about, I'm going to the V, all over Post, telling me, because they see, I knew everybody on Post that went out. I mean, it was like, okay, we went to play basketball at the main field house on Fort Hood, so therefore, we knew everybody that played ball
mm-hmm.
on Post, everybody would go out on Post. So around that day, on that Saturday, we was going to the mall or whatnot, shopping for some clothes to wear to the, you know, to the gig. It was on Thursday that day, and we was off one particular Thursday all day long. I forgot why. Well, I guess it was a training holiday or something like that. And niggas was telling me, I'm going to V, man. V, it's going to be packed tonight. We're going to be partying. Then, you know, after hearing all these people, I'm like, man, I ain't trying to go to V at 10 o'clock. I seen the line outside. You know, wrapped around and can't get in. I'm like, shit, it only holds so many people. So me and my boy Sam and our sister Nene, who Darlene know now, we went to the club at 6 o'clock.
Not 6.
And got a stamp. And then went back and took our showers. I took a shower with a garbage bag on my head because it was the fluorescent stamps that only glue with, you only can see it with a dark light.
Right.
So I told Dee and I told Sam, don't wash your hand. Now you wash your hand, you're going to have to stand in this long old pitiful line. Okay. We got back to the club about 10 like we normally come. Line wrapped all the way outside. They in the parking lot standing in line. Man, we do everything in line. I said, yo, what's up? How you, wait a minute, you ain't standing in line? I got a stamp, nigga. They was like, they were mad as hell. You cut the line. No, I've been here, my brother. My brother, I've been here. No, my brother, I've been here.
Hey,
no, my sister, I got a stamp. And I'm in my mind going, well, I can't see it. Because I ain't got no dark light. I hope I didn't sweat it off. Got in there. I had some old glow on my head. Yes, Lord. I'm in it. Was worried about it. Hey, look, bro, that whole time, I didn't even touch the top of my head. I was, and I see sweat on my head. I'm going, I'm blowing the trying to keep it dry, because I don't want my stamp to run.
You stupid.
I paid $3. I worked hard. I thought about it. It was premeditated to cut that line. But just to let niggas know I'm in there. Yo, how you doing? Man, how you getting in? Nigga, I got a stamp. You got a stamp. Came in at 6 o'clock. Nigga, I got a stamp. Oh, they was out there. And she was like, yeah, baby. She didn't even check my stamp because she knew who I was because I been there 100 times before.
Yeah, you there at 6.
But she seen them. You know, the rest of the, my sister and this, you remember, oh, y'all came earlier. You did right, baby. Cause they out there. I said, yes, they are. I had to beat this line.
And
one time, I'm going to end this again with one time on. We were at the V. I was by myself this time. Just made my sergeant strike that day out of the V. See, this girl that played basketball that I have been knowing the whole time because I played basketball and she played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the gyms on post. It was like 12 different gyms on post. I played at every different gym all my life. I was playing every day. This was part of my regimen. That's why my knees are bad right now. That's why. But I played ball all the time, so she knew who I was. And she looked good. So, I was standing against the wall. She came up and was standing facing me, and we was talking. She had on some tight jeans, little tight shirt. Fine. Man, these two niggas kept turning around looking at her ass. So, I'm like, you know, they don't even know me. This could be my girl, you know. Just up here disrespecting me.
Yeah, you got an attitude for something.
Yes, I did. Doing. That wasn't even mine. But, see, back then, I was high strung.
I was young.
And it was the principal of respecting me. So the next step, they kept turning around and they kept talking. Turn around looking at her and kept talking. So I told her, I grabbed her. I said, you lean against the wall. I'm standing right here. And so they turned around and I was standing there. I said, yeah, right. They said, well, the bitch wasn't that bad anyway. Why did I hear that? I said, what'd you say? The bitch ain't that. Bam! I pushed him. And this boy, I looked at him and said, like, what you going to do? Oh, I didn't know I had this much juice in the club. I didn't know. I knew people. I knew peoples because I go out. I knew peoples because I play basketball. But I didn't know. This dude that I played basketball with had a broken leg, had a cast on, hopped all the way over there, grabbed me, and pushed me out of the hallway with a broken leg. I'm like to myself going, and then it was like 10 more niggas crowding around the two guys that I had a beef with. Okay. They knew old girl too because of the gym. Some of the guys did too. So I'm standing there, And I'm like, dude said, man, you just made your E5 today. You don't need to jack it up. I said, man, these niggas up here tripping now. He said, but man, you don't need to do this, man. You just need to chill out, man. I said, okay. I got back in there. 20 niggas had them surrounded. Talking about, we ought to beat your ass messing with my man Jay. And I'm like, I'm looking at some of the niggas. I didn't even know. I'm looking at, who are you talking about? I'm your man. I don't know you, nigga. I walk between them and say, look. It's me now. Yeah, y'all, nobody else has to worry because I got this, right? And I told old dude, I said, look here. I'm going to tell you right now. If I say the word, they're going to stop a holy, y'all. And that dude was like, it's me and his beef. Ain't nobody else got nothing to do with it. I said, look, all these cats know me because I come in here all the time and I play ball all over post. Please do not disrespect me ever again if you ever see me out. And do not disrespect my girl. You don't know who she was. She could have been my wife, my sister. Don't matter. You're disrespecting her, you're disrespecting me. Do it again, and that's your ass. I'm gone. I'm going to tell these other guys it's cool, because they was all ready. We'll beat your ass. I mean, they was taller than me, and I was taller than that dude. I'm like looking like, nigga, I don't even know you.
All right, I want to fight today.
They knew me. They said, oh, we know you. You play ball, and you don't beat. And you know, because I used to kill niggas all the time.
Yeah.
We used to win all the time. I hate losing. My winning percentage was like in the 80s. Especially at that gym, because I hardly ever lost. And I was not losing every time I went out there. I'd be like, look here, fellas, we ain't losing now. Because I ain't trying to come out here to lose. I ain't sweating for no loss. So they knew me. I guess, you know, I didn't know that I had it like that. I mean, everybody in the club was up. I mean, it was like all the niggas was on one. You know, they were scattered. And everybody was on one side, ready to beat them down. Like they messing with the whole club. They talking about, well, we going to get your ass. We going to get your ass. We going to kill that Jay. I'm like, damn. Y'all niggas need to bite some beef and go home.
We want to fight. They just want to fight.
That's all it was about.
We didn't fight yesterday. We haven't had a good fight. We ain't seen a good fight. We ain't heard nothing about a good fight.
We need to be involved.
So we want to get a good fight.
And I, you know, I used to go to the park on Sunday. That was the regiment. Get your car clean, shine it up, go to the park about 5, 6 o'clock, showboat your ride through there like you part of the fashion show. And me and my boy used to do stuff with, we used to act like we'd call out a magazine and strike a pose.
He was from
Alliance, my boy in Alliance, Larry, and he used to go, he'll say, Ebony, and then I stand there all prominent, what was it, Newsweek, and I stand there like I'm thinking, then he say, Ride With Me, the writer's book with the motorcycles, I'll be acting like I'm riding a motorcycle.
What was your Harper's Bazaar pose?
And then he say, play girl. And I stand there with my legs spread or with my tongue out. Boy, we hit every pose. We hit it just like that.
Yeah.
Every pose for every magazine. But we always yell play girl out loud. Play girl. And niggas just get in their freak pose. It was crazy. So he was doing it. He was standing up in the middle of the park, and I was driving through, and he yelling out magazines. And I couldn't pose too hard because I was driving. But all I could do was throw my tongue out on play, girl, because they all knew what I meant.
You stupid.
We was wild.
You are crazy. You are.
This is Rolanda 700 from Rolanda700.com, and you are listening to ATAZP recorded live. I'm coming at you strong. I'm coming at you straight. We're just chilling in the cut. ATAZP. Chillin' in the cut.
say I can't remember T.A.D. This ad needs to shit. It's all on me, and that's fate coming from these people that I hate. While I'm living like the prayers, you know I'm great. Remember that time at Benjamin's? Thick women, yeah, I reeled them in. Selective memory is what I possess. Then forget old girl up in her dress. How can I run the USA if I can't remember on the day-to-day? They say gas went up to 342. Sign a freeze on the price to help me and you. St. Louis number one in crime and death. Gotta protect the arch if there's nothing left. Need to regain my memory back to run things. Living large and black.
They say my destiny. They call me T.A.C. And I don't give a damn. I don't know who I am.
Fuck them haters, cause I gotta do my thing. No pressure on me, let nuts hang. Confident in the words that I spit. Feel me, baby, with the tongue that I lick. Every time I drop, it's strictly magic. Niggas bump their heads and ladies gotta have it. C-bass seasoning for the funk. Kick up the drums and I'm in your trunk. No matter what I do, you have to nod your head. Not white Nikes for black broke heads. Grace on the mic or whatever said. Tim Jeter in the house, T.A.Z. is dead. Feel me now when I start to do battle. Faster than a smooth Washington, Seattle. If I talk reverse, I might lose your mind. I remember that in the spot of time.
They say my destiny. They call me T.A.C. And I don't give a damn.
Like that, you ain't getting nothing, cause he don't swing unless he's swinging hard on you. He the slave master, he will whip your ass.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say that I'm the slave driver because I want songs to perfection. I gotta have it on time, and I'm doing. You know, I write every day. I did like two songs a day, two gospel songs a day. And dear, we are recording right now. We are on ATAZP, recorded live with your host TAZ
and the DJ Stroke,
and we're talking to Dick's Doc.
Let me clarify that.
Stroke.
Just for you, it would be DJ Stroke, but for anyone else out there, it's just Stroke.
J Bug corrected us on that.
Yeah, we had to get a correction because he don't know what DJ Stroke is.
Hey, Tressa, you're gonna have to talk up. I mean, I know you're sexy and everything, but yell like us because we need to record your voice.
Yell, huh?
Well, you don't have to wake up the whole neighborhood. Just, you know, wake our ears.
Give me a reason to scream, baby.
Oh, that's hey, we you got two brothers on the line. That should be enough.
There she go. And three openings. Think about that.
I got fingers too, so we.
Okay.
I got toes.
I got things that say made in Taiwan.
There you go. That should say it right there.
Did you cuss this out? Beep.
Beep.
Beep, nigga.
I did say beep. Beep.
I ain't allowed to say Negro.
Beep. No,
so,
that's true.
Give us just a rundown philosophy what Dicks.com is all about. .com, excuse me.
Yeah, well, you had it right. Dicks.com. Okay, basically, it's all about dicks. I mean, it's like, that's what I live for. That's who I am. That's what I love. That's what I do. I mean, I crave dicks. Everything about them. It fascinates me. I don't have one. So, I mean, that's my main focus in life. It's to master them.
Okay, for the...
Make them do things that you can't make it do.
DJ Stroke's eyes is wide as a saucer over there.
They just jumped up to my forehead.
Now next time you say you love D.I.X., say it like me.
Because I'm sitting over here, you know how someone can flip their eyelids? Well, my eyelids just bent backwards and just smacked me in the forehead.
I'm talking about, here she go, I love beef, and I love
you
beef.
Know, I'm wondering, what's my man, white boy name, Jewish dude on a radio station now that's big time. He does live radio now. White boy, tall, skinny. He did the live show, movie.
Oh, you're talking about Howard Stern.
Howard Stern. And, you know, he had that controversy with saying curse words on radio live.
But, you know, I own the website.
Well, that's not the point. That's not my point. My point was that when we talk to her and we're trying to find out which one she's trying to you, because she's just freely speaking about dicks, and I'm saying, okay.
Jeez. I just got through saying, wait a minute.
You gotta be catching me, and I gotta catch you.
Boy, I tell you. Hey, Tressa, I just said, I just say, say it like me, D-I-X-E-O. She just freely saying, beep. God damn.
Poor beep.
No, I didn't curse that time.
Well, we gotta use D-I-X.
Yeah,
D-I-X.
I will try. I'm cleaning it up as good as I can.
Well, I hear you do a good job.
Of cleaning it up?
Yeah.
Beep! For what I was thinking. Beep!
Well, let me just go ahead and put that on. Put that down. Because my beep is off.
Any questions, DJ Stroke?
Well, she has...
I love that name.
Well, thank you, and you already know that name comes from the original Wishmaster.
Okay, what I want to know is, can you live up to it?
Oh, that's why I'm named DJ Stroke and the Wishmaster. I've given wishes to many.
Watch yourself, DJ Stroke. Watch yourself.
I said I've given wishes.
Watch yourself. Watch yourself.
Have you mastered the stroke?
Yes, I have.
Can I try you out on that?
Well, we are recorded live. We are recorded live.
Whoa. Hey, Trevor, I had to put the phone down. I said, oh, please, don't walk into it. Please. She opened the door. Run out. Run out.
I'm running. I got the phone attached to my head.
I'm like, she opened the door wide open. Run out. Run out. So, you are married. Am I correct, Tressa?
Yes, I am.
And you know the question I'm getting ready to ask that I already didn't ask last time, so you might as well just go on and answer it. In other words, how does your husband feel about this?
It's like this. Just because I'm married, that doesn't mean that, you know, anyone owns me. Me and my husband, we have a great relationship. He understands me. He knows that I'm basically, let's see, a free spirit. That's what he loves about me. There are no restrictions in my marriage. As far as I'm concerned, I say, you know, when people get married, you should marry someone that's compatible for you. And he knows how I am. He knows what I like. That's what he loves about me. Like I say, I love D.I.X. He knew this.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because I was listening. I wasn't ready for the beep.
But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway.
And I mean, variety is like the spice of life. And, I mean, I love everything about them. And, I mean, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be who I am. I'm not going to change for anyone. And he understands this. So, I mean...
Is he a free spirit? I hate to stop you.
I don't put any restrictions. That's the thing about our marriage. There are no restrictions. When it comes to pleasure, that's what it's all about. I would do anything to please him. If he sees a woman out there that he likes, I'll do anything in my power to help him get that woman. Anything to please my husband. And I know he will do the same. That's why we have such a great marriage, you know?
Well, I'm glad I was sitting down when you said that, and I hope the listening audience was sitting down, too.
I've melted to the chair. You just sealed my beep.
Hey,
I got so heated over here.
You just about said it, too.
Ooh.
You sealed my beep.
More people would like this in their marriage, the divorce rate, I think, would just drop. You know, because, like, if you just be honest in your marriage.
There'd be a lot of pants dropping, too. Yeah.
Well, but there'd be a lot of satisfaction, a lot of pleasure. You know, and I feel like this, there is no such thing as cheating if you tell them what you're going to do to start with. Because cheating is sneaking around and doing something. We don't sneak. If I'm going to do something, I let him know before I do it and I go do it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm a woman the last time I checked, so, and this was a free country.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, like, the I think one of the most important questions?
Yes.
Do you practice safe sex?
I'm safe in everything that I do. I'm safe in everything that I do.
I mean, because when you told me you love DIX. Okay, loving it.
Thank you, DJ.
Loving it is only one way to receive it,
mm-hmm.
And to return the love, there's no way to, you can't imitate that.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's one way. It's the only one way you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
So to cover it up, I mean, it's not as genuine. I mean, I'm having a heart attack over here too.
Oh, he's killing me.
I'm over here. I'm trying to keep it clean because
I'm ready to go. Passion.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm about to say. Because. I mean, I want to say this.
You gotta,
I know,
wait a minute, Tressa. You got him stuttering. Wait a minute. Calm down. Breathe. Okay.
I'm feeling excited.
Relax. Listen, when you have skills the way that I do, it doesn't matter what's covering it. Okay?
Skills. She's got skills.
But see, she has time, and she has the freedom to express her skills.
There are many women. There are many women.
Oh, I'm not denying that. I know plenty of women like you. I respect every area of that. Now, my main thing is making sure that it's a safe practice.
Yeah.
Because when you do absolutely that, you have to know your territory.
Yes.
And you sound like you know your territory.
Oh yes.
Because I've been in that territory before.
And I love you because of
and
the fact that
I would love to have you in my territory.
Hey,
wait a minute. We are recorded live. But I love you for the fact that you're very
real.
Open,
yes.
And real with it, just like I am. I'm really real. I say what the hell. Oh yeah.
You ain't about to beat you up.
I almost started. I say what the heck is on my mind. And I try to be as real as I can, you know, and that's the only way to be, because I ain't trying to remember what lie I said yesterday.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. And it's not even carrying a lie, it's living with yourself.
Right.
It's living with yourself, and when you said free spirit, that kind of like made the whole conversation totally different, because it is a spirit that you're living with, you know, and to live with that spirit, if you're not living with a free spirit, it will bind you, and it will destroy you, because you're dealing with something that you can't handle no more.
Right.
It will destroy you. So living with that and being able to express love in that, I think, in that caliber, it strengthens you, basically. It will make you a very powerful individual. So I like to examine the territory, but I don't know if I'm ready to come into those doors yet, because my situation, I'm a married man, and my
married,
but my marriage is not open like that.
All right, another thing.
Praise God.
That's another thing. People say, okay, so you have an open marriage. Well, I wouldn't call it open. I call it honest.
I have an honest.
How many men on a daily basis look at another woman and lust?
Oh, we both sit down and look at. I drive down the highway and I tell her, "Ooh, she got a nice beat." And
I'm glad you said that.
And she and, and and she'll say, and I know that right there. You know, I know her conversation. She looked at that man and be like, that man looking good. You know, so she don't talk, but I know her conversation. She doesn't have to say anything, and I know when she looks, her looks. I know her communication.
So you basically know her thoughts.
Yes.
Right? What
yes.
are you thinking? Now tell me this: you love your wife, right?
Yes.
Would you do anything for your wife?
I've already done it.
Okay, so you've actually seen her lust for somebody and went out and got that guy for her?
I wouldn't say I went out and got any man for her, okay,
no.
Because there's something that I have not accomplished with her yet, you know, so I'm waiting to accomplish just that one little thing.
And I feel like this. My husband, he knows that I love him. He knows who I come home to. He knows this, and he knows where my heart is, and that's why I feel like, you know, we're so honest with each other that, you know, I'm like this. If there's something out there, if there's somebody out there that can do something better than I can or do something that I cannot do and my husband wants it or he needs it, I'm going to be there for him. I'm going to be there to get whatever he needs. I don't care what I have to do, you know, because that's the kind of love that I have for my husband. I love him. He loves me, and we're honest with each other like this, you know. And people, a lot of people ask me, how does your husband feel? That'd be the first thing they ask me. How does your husband feel about this? We have a wonderful marriage. All his friends, they're like, I wish I had a wife like you. That would go, if I see somebody walking that.
I was interviewing someone online last night who's involved with the same thing, and they did a little presentation, and they did a show of a man allowing another man to come in and bang his wife.
Okay, I gotta stop you right there. You said allowing.
Well, not allowing. This is something that they didn't want. They already swing.
Okay.
They already swing. They've done it before, but they wanted to do it for everyone else to see it.
Okay, see, that's another thing. Swinging. We don't swing.
Yeah, no, this wasn't swinging. This was something that they just wanted to do. They just wanted everybody to see it.
Okay.
So, I mean, they swing before, but, you know, that's not what I'm interested in.
See, and another thing, like, what I do, even though I'm telling all this, what I do a one-on-one. I feel like this. If I'm with someone, I'm going to give them my 100%. There's no 50-50 here. You bring your 100% to the table, I bring mine. When I'm with a person, I'm focusing totally on that person. That's why I don't do any group things or whatever. I want all my focus to be on that person. My whole purpose is to please that person no matter what I have to do. I want to know their body better than they do. I want to be able to make their body do things that they never imagined.
Now,
I understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I can make you rise, I can make you fall. There's nothing you can do about it, but lay there and like it.
That's
what,
like...
Wait a minute. What about, you had told me that you set in for some couples that need help.
Yeah. Well, it's not that they need help. It's like,
it's for your learning experience,
yes,
too, right?
Yes. Like, you know, I have friends that... They know that I like to learn. It's like I said, it's like a learning experience. So me, I don't like watch porn, but I watch the live activity and I record it and I go back and I look at it and see what they could have done better. Or, you know, like when I'm sitting in, I'm like, hold it, you know, tell me exactly how does that feel when she's doing that to you. You know, I want to know exactly. I don't like the fake stuff. This is a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I'll record them, you know, and then I'll go back and check it out and see what they could have done differently or done better or, you know, a way to improve it. You know, I want you to have the ultimate sexual experience. You know, like I said, you know what I love, DIA. So.
Yeah. Well, Miss Tressa, you know, we could talk to you all night on this subject, but for the show's sake, we're gonna stop the interview right here, but we got to get together so we can actually have you sit in on the show, and in between record spins, and we talk to you about a whole lot of other stuff other than sex, too, because she's well-rounded. She knows a lot of different areas and got a lot of different opinions about a lot of different subjects. So
okay.
I really want to sit and talk to her because it'd be just a total trip, and I know we'll laugh and have a good time.
I think that'd be a good contribute.
Yeah.
I really would.
And she needs to sit on them like once a month. Really.
You have my mind flow when you said sit on.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sit on what?
This is ATAZP recorded
live.
This is poet author Mark Lacey. ATAZP recorded live right here in the basement of Snellville, Georgia, where I saw you and I heard you for the first time, but most deaf, not the last, not the last. Taz, T-A-Z is vicious on the recorder and notorious with the beats that creep from the speakers into your ears, turning them into sweeters and seekers of the heat from melodic rhythms that scare you, then wear you like denim. Hit them up on the web, listen up on MySpace for ATAZP recorded live in the studio.
Party. Come on, with me. Come on, come on. Ain't nothing but a party. Going down with me. Again, the president has left the building. TAC is in this motherfucker. But the president, TAZ, has left the building. Do you want to party with me, the TAZ?
Yo, what's up, man? It's your boy, Shawn Maestro, you know what I'm saying? Representing Lightyear Productions, you know? Man, if you need some funk tracks, R&B, you know, urban, whatever you want, man, just hit up the Maestro, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Holla at your boy, man, 770-873-1893. Again, the number, 770-873-1893, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm with my boy, you know what I'm saying? TAZ, you know what I'm saying? I'm on ATAZP. Record it live, man. For sure. Ah!